Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
What is it that you want for Christmas? Now, the letters to Santa, now have a long list of things. I want this, I want this, this, this. Well, there's a letter that came to the North Pole, and this letter started out saying, Henry was a very good boy all the way through 2019. He always obeyed his parents. He was polite and he was respectful. He did his homework all of the time. Henry deserves to have a lot of gifts. And at the end, by the way, my name is Henry. Yeah. Well, he wanted to be, you know, not on the naughty list. So what do you want for Christmas? Kind of depends on your age, your sex, your interests, your hobbies, all that sort of thing. Now, when my daughter Rachel grew up and she had little boys of her own, she could always expect at a certain age that she would get something like maybe some great, you know, action figure and maybe another set of Legos, things like that. If you're a man, you probably would like to have power tools, perhaps if you're like fishing and hunting, things that go with that, or a trip to Bass Pro. Probably not a lot of requests go in for Jelly of the Month Club, though Dad may want to have, ask for a big bonus at Christmas time so he can keep up with Clark Griswold. How about jewelry from Mom? Everybody likes gadgets. Now, it's hard for Santa to keep up with all the latest when it comes to gadgets, and you think of the elves are trying to keep their quotas as they're preparing these things, making these things that by next year are already going to be obsolete. Adults kind of like things to work out in, you know, jog in, perspire in generally. Tech toys for kids are really big this year, I've noticed. And you can get robots, you know, work by remote control robots, even robotic pets, smart pets that take care of themselves. You don't have to clean the litter. You don't have to take them out for a walk. How about smart watches, microscopes, Nintendo reality, or even something that you can use to shoot your eye out? Well, the story is told of a little girl that on Christmas morning she came down and there was the Christmas tree and piled high all kinds of gifts. And since she was an only child, they were all for her. So she attacked this thing, ripping off all the wrappings, didn't care, you know, who it was from or whatever, opened up those boxes, took all the things out while Mom was gathering all that and putting it into the recycle bin, and then ended up filling up four more trash bags just with those wrappings and boxes. And when it was all done, oh, by the way, Dad, too, he was busy. He quickly exhausted his mega supply of AA batteries so that everything would work. Well, when all that was finished, she took a breath and she ran over to the fireplace. Fortunately, there was no fire in it at that time. And she poked her head into the fireplace and looked up the chimney, saying, Santa, you still there? Is there still more? Is there more? You know, Christmas is the biggest holiday in America, and the Christmas shopping season is the most profitable, the largest retailing of the year, especially in Toyland. It's a high travel season, also a time when you overeat once again, having just finished doing that at Thanksgiving time. But it's a time when everybody wants to be together. Now, I tell you this, and it warms the heart when this happens. Everybody in the family is all together. I'd rather have that than an unlimited access to, you know, Amazon Prime and never have to pay the bill. I'd rather have the family together. Well, then it's all done. That little girl's question, though, still remains. Is that all there is? Shouldn't there be more? Well, the answer is, there is more, much more. And you can experience this much more when at Christmas time you keep the main thing, the main thing. You see, some of the peripherals of Christmas can kind of get out of hand, of course. Christmas was not much of a big thing until about the middle of the 4th century, and an observance of the birth of Jesus was added into the Christian calendar. It was incorporated into it. Nobody really knew exactly what day it was that Jesus was born. It wasn't marked on anybody's calendar, but they figured, hey, around the end of the year, around the time of the winter solstice, that'd be a great time because the pagans have a holiday, their Saturnalia, where they celebrate the rebirth of the sun god. And it was a pagan festival which had a lot, was characterized by excesses, dissipation, debauchery, indulgence, and all of that in a degenerate manner, and they even misbehaved a little bit too. Gradually, over the centuries, this minor observance became a major festival. But the emphasis was always on the birth of Jesus, not on all of the peripherals that we have. But there are hymns, there are carols that come from those ancient times, some of which are still surviving and are used even today. The generosity of a man, he was the Bishop of Myra, right around that time. His generosity, by the way, his name was Nicholas, and was later acknowledged as a saint. Put it together, Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus. Okay. He became legendary because of his generosity and set a permanent example of gift giving in connection with the birth of Jesus. Now, there was a guy by the name of Martin Luther. He is reputed to be the first person to bring an evergreen tree into the house at Christmas time, and to use that as a type of a decoration and a celebration of the coming of Jesus. Then in the year 1851, there was a pastor, H.C. Schwann, who scandalized a lot of Christians by bringing into his church in Cleveland, Ohio, Zion Lutheran Church, brought in a tree. This was the first time a Christmas tree was brought inside of a church. And boy, did that catch on, and it became really big. Now, such things as these can be appropriate to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, but at times these can grow to a point where they obscure the heart of the celebration. And my prayer is that in our gathering this evening, that we kind of personally, each of us, urge our attention away for a little bit from some of these peripherals. And then let the main thing be the main thing, because Jesus was born. A desperately needed Savior came into the world. And I'm going to tell you this, that there is not one person, though I do not know everyone here personally, but I can tell you this, there's not one person in this room that does not need a Savior. And so that's why we are here tonight, because a Savior has come, and we're going to focus our attention upon Him. And that means then peace on earth, but not just some kind of a big global thing, but a very personal peace for each one of us, meaning that God's favor, God's goodwill, God's grace has been personally targeted toward your heart. Now, the ones who heard the song from heaven, Gloria in excelsis Deo, or glory to God in the highest, they were humble, lowly shepherds. They were watching their flock that night, Bethlehem's field, where they were grazing their sheep. And all of a sudden, the whole sky lit up, and the angel of the Lord appeared with good news of great joy. For to you, meaning them specifically, those people who were there hearing this and seeing this, to them was born a Savior. And again, it says that they responded, first of all, with great fear. But that great fear was soon overcome by a greater news. A Savior has been born. And they went with haste then to Bethlehem to see the thing that had come to pass that the Lord had made known to them. Now, these dreary feet quickly moved until they came to the only barn that had a child lying in a manger. And there they entered and imagined. Can you imagine them, just what their thoughts are? You know, we're just a bunch of outcasts. And here, lying, is the Son of God. There's the Savior of the world. In a manger, in a dirty barn. He must be an outcast also. Maybe we can identify ourselves with this Savior of the world. Maybe this is meant for us and not just for the religious establishment. And then their knees hit the floor that was composed of dirt and animal droppings, their knees down there. And there they worshiped. Now, worship begins with a sense of awe. Wow. This is just absolutely amazing. Wonder in the presence of that divine child. And then it moves on, and it moves on through a humble recognition. We have been so blessed with the visitation of the divine person right here for us personally. You see, isn't that what Christmas, when we really catch it, when it captures us, isn't that really what is happening inside of us? And then through that humble recognition that they're unworthy of such a visitation, then there is praise, there is joy, there is praising and glorifying God. And then following that, something else comes about. What did they do after they saw the child? They made known abroad the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So the telling is what comes as a result of that. Well, there might be those who would prefer not to kneel down in the dirt. And those who in pride think that they in themselves can get everything that they need, and who needs all of that. But when it comes to Christmas, in confusion, in frustration, they look up the chimney like that little girl. Is that all there is? Isn't there supposed to be more? And with an authentic Christmas, there is more. Only Jesus can offer it all. Only Jesus can offer everything that you need, which goes beyond anything that you could even want. This is the child who was sent from his position in the divine Godhead, part of the Holy Trinity, to carry out a mission that required a cross. The child would have to grow, become a man, die on a cross, because it was for that purpose that he was sent into the world. And he came, and he comes even now. Do you want to know the best part? You want to know the best part? And it's this: you personally are the object of that personal love. Well, the shepherds, they left the sheep. They had a trade. No, watching those sheep and taking care of all of those things for going to be with Jesus. And then I think about 30 years later, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, a bunch of men left the fish and the boats and the nets to be with Jesus. You know, we need to leave behind some of those peripherals of Christmas and move on into the real thing, which is to know and worship and adore and love the one who loves you more than you could ever imagine. This is a Savior who forgives, a Savior who accepts, no matter where you've been, what you've done. He says, but I'm here to draw you back into the sphere of my love, my grace. And that ultimately is what Christmas is all about. So let your heart and your knees be drawn to worship and to experience that which is more than just the externals of Christmas. As once again this Christmas, we're invited to encounter the most profound reality in all of history. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. God became man to become our Savior. And the little child in that manger is God coming for each of us to save us. And that's what Christmas is. Can you say amen to that?